My guest at this time is Missouri Republican Congressman Todd Akin. He represents the Show Me State's 2nd Congressional District, sits on the House Armed Services Committee, and is a candidate for the Republican nomination for U.S. Senate in Missouri. He's hoping to win the nomination and then defeat incumbent Democrat Claire McCaskill. And, sir, it's always good to have you with us.
It's a pleasure to join you once again and your great audience.
Thank you, sir, very much. Well, obviously, you're active not only in doing your current job in the House, but traveling the state and sizing up a response from voters around the state. There's a lot going on in the headlines right now, from the economy to gas prices to the tensions in Afghanistan. What are you hearing about most from the voters?
Well, it's pretty broad spectrum, just as you're saying, and interest in all kinds of areas. Certainly interest in the Republican presidential primary, and to some degree, I think it's diverted some attention away from our race for the U.S. Senate. But I think that's, you know, in a political area, that may be the big thing that people are watching right now.
In terms of the economy, of the jobs numbers, the most recent report, pretty stable. There were over 200,000 jobs added, but the overall rate stayed at 8.3, which historically is not very good, but it's about 2 points better than where it was at its worst point in the last 3 years. What argument do you think Republicans have to make it strongest against the president in that regard?
Well, first of all, that number that you mentioned is the official government number, and everybody knows it's baloney. There are a lot of people who've lost jobs, and they've been out of work for more than a year. And, of course, those are not showing up on those on the government reports. They conveniently say that if somebody hasn't gotten a job within a year, we won't record it anymore. So, in reality, unemployment is still high. And regardless of what Wall Street does, and they sometimes are dazzling to me because they seem to avoid making decisions based on hard facts, but the business climate, if you figure the five things that are guaranteed to kill jobs, we're still doing all of them full speed ahead. One, massive tax increases. Two, we're just burying people in red tape. Three, you create an atmosphere of uncertainty. Four, put federal regulators into the banks so that it makes it much more complicated to get money for small business. And then, last of all, fifth of all, just to spend money as though there's no tomorrow. And with running well over $1 trillion deficits every year, in all five of those categories, we are just making lives miserable for people looking for jobs. And the reason that is because we've made life miserable to the people that own businesses. One thing that our Democrat friends never get straight is the jobs come from businesses. If they continue to beat up companies, then they're going to have poor job ratings. I think a lot of people in America understand that, but it doesn't seem like some in Washington, D.C. do.
Congressman, I'm sure another issue that you'll be bringing up on the trail, and certainly as it relates to Senator McCaskill, is her vote in favor of the president's health care laws. I'm sure you saw recently that the Congressional Budget Office estimated it to cost now $1.76 trillion over the next 10 years, which is obviously different than the 10-year projection a couple of years ago when there were about 4 years remaining before the full program kicked in. How big of an issue do you expect that cost to be in addition to the other aspects of the president's plan?
Well, I think it all adds up, and it's just simply, you know, heaping a further pile of stones on the grave of this ridiculous piece of legislation. This bill was voted on by the citizens of the state of Missouri 2 summers ago, and it was 71% of the people in Missouri did not want the federal government running our health care. Subsequently, other states have voted similarly, that they don't want the federal government running their health care. And if it weren't enough, just the whole idea of socialized medicine, the little exercise of the bureaucrats trotting out their sensitivity training and basically smashing the First Amendment and telling people that we don't care about your religious convictions, everybody's got to do this, you know. I mean, there's a lot of different things that you could pick to socialize, but socializing birth control strikes me as being one of the more bizarre things. Even back in the days that I recall when I was much, much younger, the Woodstock days, you know, I don't think you could have even sold that idea to the hippies at Woodstock. And So anyway, that whole exercise of the bureaucrats coming out and saying that these organizations that have basic religious disagreements with certain types of birth control devices that abort children, you may or may not believe that, but the fact is there are a lot of people who don't want their money being directed to something they think is just morally wrong. And the complete insensitivity and inflexibility of the administration in that situation, I think, just added more to what you're already saying. It's going to cost more than what everybody promised, because they were jiggering the numbers to try to make it look like it wasn't expensive. And the result is going to be two things if it goes forward. One, lousy health care. Two, very expensive lousy health care. And that's why I think the Supreme Court would be well advised to tell the federal government that they can't compel people to buy a product.
We're talking with Missouri Congressman Todd Akin, running for the U.S. Senate in his state. And, sir, in our last couple of minutes here, let's talk a little bit about your opponents. First of all, Senator McCaskill, surprising to some, voted in favor of the Keystone Pipeline recently, a big part of the energy debate going on here in Washington. And some see that as part of a little bit of a drift to the right to appeal to independents who might fear that for the most part of her first term, she might have been a little too far to the left. Do you sense that that's part of her strategy? And if so, how much tougher does it make the argument against her if she's got a few more conservative votes in her record?
Well, here's the thing. She can try to talk conservative or even vote once in a while conservative, but she's not going to fool anybody now. I mean, she has been a rubber stamp for Obama year after year. She voted for Obamacare. She voted for that atrocious, quote, stimulus bill, which gave all kinds of money to these different federal agencies so that they could continue to bury people in red tape. And she's voted for all the liberal stuff coming along. So for her to try to change the vote, she also was, of course, in there with Obama's administration requiring that everybody have to buy the kind of insurance that had was running over the First Amendment. All of those votes have piled up. And then she had some personal problems with not paying, a couple $100,000 on her private airplane, so she has the moniker Air Claire. And you put that all together, and the bottom line is that her popularity is not strong. In fact, Stu, I think it was Rothenberg, just changed the rating for this race from a toss-up to now lean Republican. So that says Claire is in big trouble.
Certainly is, and it was always expected to be a pretty competitive bellwether race. Of course, before you would get to match up with Senator McCaskill, you'd have to win the nomination. We spoke a couple weeks ago to one of your rivals, Sarah Steelman, who claimed that she was the true conservative in the race because she was against earmarks before being against earmarks was cool. She said even when she was running for governor in 2008, Republicans like yourself and the delegation told her that position was incorrect. How do you respond to that, and what case do you make to Missouri voters that you're the right choice for conservatives?
Well, I think ever since Ronald Reagan, everybody who runs in a Republican primary tells everybody that they're the conservative. But while promises and talk are cheap, the only one of us running in this race that has a long and consistently tested conservative record is myself. My record shows me my lifetime rating, for instance, with the American Conservative Union, but there's other people that rate congressmen, has me as the most conservative congressman in Missouri. That's not talk. That's not promises. That's fact. The fact is that as different bills came along, I didn't do what your average politician that just wants to sit in politics all their life. I voted against my own party at times. The first bill I ran into was No Child Left Behind. That was President Bush's H.R. 1, the first bill in 2001. And I thought, wait a minute, I don't think a bunch of federal bureaucrats should be telling people in Missouri how to run our schools. So I voted no. And later on the expansion of the entitlement, I got a couple of calls from the president, and I still voted no, even though the vote was tied and he needed just one vote. And then on the Wall Street bailout, I voted no. And then increasing Obama's credit card limit on the credit limit increase of August, where Republican John Boehner, the speaker, was suggesting we should do that and cut defense by another 10%. And I voted no on that. So that's not to mention all of the liberal stuff that Obama does that almost all of us voted no on. So that made me the most conservative-rated office holder, and I think a solid conservative record is better than a promise any day. And Sarah's record of being a conservative is has its blemishes and warts on it, I might add, but I don't usually talk about my opponents, so I'm not going to go into what some of those votes were.
Sir, I'm sure we'll be in touch as the campaign goes along. Go ahead and give our listeners your website if they want to learn some more about you.
Yeah, it would be look it up on Akin, AKIN.org. Also, you might note that Mike Huckabee has just been in and endorsed us. He's very popular in Missouri. In the rally, he was willing to pick up the bass guitar. I picked up my acoustic steel string, and we did a couple of good old boy music songs. I don't know if that's on the site yet or not, but it will be coming soon. And so if people like a little lighter side of politics, we had a good time when Mike Huckabee endorsed us.
Excellent. Well, sir, as always, we appreciate your time. We know you've got a very busy schedule, and we appreciate it very much. We'll talk to you soon.
Well, Greg, it's always a pleasure chatting, and thanks for taking the time and getting the facts of things out straight.
Appreciate it, sir. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Missouri Republican Congressman Todd Akin represents his state's 2nd Congressional District, member of the House Armed Services Committee, candidate for U.S. Senate in Missouri as well. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.